Welcome back to another episode of the Talk 20s podcast. Today, we're asking the question, can everyone be an entrepreneur? Should everyone be an entrepreneur? And what does it take to be a successful one? If you've ever debated quitting your corporate job in favor of working for yourself, then this is an episode to get you thinking. We're joined by founder of Peak Performance Events, Aaron Knightley, who champions escaping the 9-to-5 to build something of your own. Before we dive in, please don't forget to hit that subscribe or follow button. The more of you that do, the more we can keep bringing you inspiring guests on the podcast. Now let's get on with the show. In order to keep bringing you guys tons of free content, we work with brand partners who you'll hear from in this episode, including an advertisement from Soperbank. So Aaron, we always kickstart the podcast by asking you to scroll back to this time last year and show us what's on your camera roll. So what were you doing around about this time last year? Have you got a picture you can share with us?
Well, we were just deciding, weren't we? Because a lot of them are professional. What camera am I showing it to? I'm going to show it to that one.
This one right here.
I'm going to show you Wicked.
Okay.
So apart from, you know, professional parts of my life, this was round about this time last year where my wife, my son and I, we sort of actually had our first proper day in London as a family.
Nice.
So we don't often come into London, but we enjoyed the museums. We did Wicked. We did like Piccadilly, Leicester Square and stuff like that. So just to actually enjoy London. I'm in London a lot.
But for work normally.
Work, right? So it's quite nice to come up with my family.
And what did you think of Wicked? Because personally, I love musicals, so I love Wicked.
It was Wicked. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it truly was. And we're actually looking at other theatres, you know, shows to watch this year because we enjoyed it so much. And it was such a nice day out as well. And London's vibrant, especially when you can put the professional side. You know, to one side and just enjoy London for what it is. So we'll be doing more this year.
When I thought about doing this podcast with you, I didn't think that we'd be chatting about musicals. The love of musicals.
Love it. But I grew up watching Hello Dolly. So like my mum's loved musicals. So I thoroughly enjoy them.
And how important is that? Because obviously you mentioned there like so many things in your camera roll. You really struggle to find a family photo or something that you were doing outside of work. Like, is that like the norm for you that it isn't something that you spend loads of time doing? Or like, what's the reality?
I think the reality is one space on the phone. I think that's when you're so heavy on socials.
Yeah.
Like, generally, like you run out of memory, right? So, but like I was saying off of camera is like, I like to create more moments in reels. So like when we have family photos or stuff like that, convert them into nice reels and stuff like that, and then just clear it up. But, you know, predominantly my phone, I use it for a work purpose. And that's pretty much it. So any family memories that are created, stick it into a cool reel. It normally gets uploaded onto something and sort of then like a private album that, you know, we can watch, you know, whenever we want.
That's nice. I think it's one of those things that like when you are in a very social media driven world, like my camera roll is just a mixture of everything. Like it's personal and then it's business and then it's friends and all that kind of, it's just so much all in one space. I think it's sometimes hard to look back and kind of pick out like moments because you kind of think of them in terms of business terms and then kind of think of them in terms of like personal, and then it's two very separate things.
Yeah. I think having the phone for professional and personal is great. But I think, do you know what? Looking back at my childhood, like for me to go and find old photos and stuff like that, you've got to dig through an old album. And I think what's really nice is just having your professional life separate and your personal life, but having that ability to have like little videos. That's what I'm really like passionate about, is turning like photos and having more videos. So if I was to look at any personal stuff that I've got, you're going to find like a 2-second clip of something. Yeah. You know, it's not going to make much sense on its own, but then it's put into a Wicked reel. So
So tell us a little bit more about you then. Why do you spend so much time on your phone and on social media? Like, what is your core message that you're putting out there on social media?
So just as we were saying, actually, with you guys just off of camera, is that I spend a lot of time, you know, as we all do, right, in the world that we're in, on social media. But I think the element of being disconnected is something that I would really stress, is that, you know, we can become overwhelmed. It can become a huge part of our life. And I feel that depending on how you control that, and I control it in the right way, it can determine either a negative outcome or a good outcome for branding and business. So, you know, I talk about this a lot, how you use it. Do you create or do you consume? I'm very much a creator. So anytime I'm on my phone, it's predominantly business, branding, you know, whatever it might be, but I'm aiming towards something positive, you know. So, and I can compartmentalize. When I'm off, I'm off. And I've got really thick skin. Mm-hmm. It's water off a duck's back. So when I use it, I know wholeheartedly I'm using it for the right reasons. And just to caveat that, I'm never getting caught up in this social comparison, social competitiveness, and I'm chasing no one other than me. And that's it. And I think that's a good way to be.
How are you getting into that headspace? Because I think most people who listen to this podcast will go, when I go on social media, I compare myself to other people.
I think it's a mixture for me, really. I think my upbringing, I think the way that I am as a person, you know, some who know me on a personal level would say that I can be very thorough, quite ruthless. I can be Marmite in my ways, but I think I don't get distracted. So, you know, looking at my life from a young age, my parents didn't have a lot of money. I've really seen hard work. I've seen bubble-like, hyper-zone focus from my parents, like in their lane, doing their own thing, trying to provide for me and my sister. And I've sort of been caught up in my own world in terms of I have high discipline. I am a massive action taker. And just with key traits that I have, that kind of allows me to not take on board external noise. And obviously, over time, my fitness and my discipline has really kind of allowed me to carve out this person who I just honestly, and I know it's very rare, but I just do not look at anyone. Like, I have people say to me, did you not see so-and-so? I literally don't know what anyone else does. I have no idea what my business partner does. I don't know what anyone else does because I'm just so focused on making sure that, like we were saying off camera, I'm utilizing time the best I can. Mm-hmm. And I'm fully aware I have no idea about someone else's story. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't judge.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you talk about social media is kind of is how you've broken out of corporate world to work, you know, not have to do the 9 to 5, to work for yourself. And you spend a lot of time also sharing how other people can do that too. When you obviously talk about social media, like not looking at anyone else and kind of people are looking to you to maybe want to leave their jobs. If we are all like content creators, who's there, and we all adopt your mindset, who's there to consume this content is the question I want to ask.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you a question. You create podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. But do you watch other podcasts?
Yeah, I do, but not loads.
Are you subscribed to any other YouTube channels other than your own?
Through the business, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you'll consume other content that relates to you mm-hmm. for information that you want to find out. Mm-hmm. So the more creators we have, we actually have more consumption. It's just in a different way. Mm-hmm. There's negative consumption. Again, it's very, very black and white. It's positive consumption, negative consumption. So for me, if I want to find out something new about branding or marketing, I will end up consuming maybe 2-3 other content creators. Mm-hmm. And also it's like with anything, it's like with footballers. David Beckham is long gone, but there'll be a new person who comes through for Manchester United and stuff like that. It's the same with content creation, new ways of working. There are new businesses. So there's new information hitting the market all the time. And for us to not become stagnant, we need to consume the new information coming through. So it's always a case of the more creators, mm-hmm. there is more consumption. But you can look at someone's life and go, well, how do you consume? There's mm-hmm. mind-numbing consumption. And then there's educational consumption. I would imagine we fall into mm-hmm. educational.
So you're saying you do consume, but it's only educational content?
Only educational, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I won't watch a cat jumping off a roof.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not even for fun.
No.
A quick note from our sponsors, Zopa Bank, who are here to help you with your personal finance in the Zopa app. Zopa have a For You section on their app that gives you helpful, personalized insights like reviewing your subscriptions, checking for cheaper broadband and energy bills. The first thing that you need to do is link your accounts using Open Banking. Once your accounts are connected, the available data will let Zopa understand your finances and give you personalized insights. It will also analyze your credit file and check your Zopa eligibility. Best of all, it's all free and at your fingertips always, so you can make sure you're making the best, most informed choice with your money 24/7. Download the Zopa app now to find out more. I think we need to start this whole conversation with, can anyone be an entrepreneur? Do you think everyone can be an entrepreneur?
I think there's a lack of information on how accessible it is to change your life.
Okay.
So I think when we look at the likes of certain formal careers, you know, a lot of people say, well, you've got an accountant, a lawyer and a doctor. Well, you know, you've got partners in law firms, in accountancy, you've got freelance, you've got high ticket commissions. So I think there's elements of entrepreneurial traits in different job roles other than you have to work for someone else. Mm-hmm. Do I think everyone could be a successful entrepreneur or business owner? I wouldn't say yes, because I think you have to be a certain type of person. Mm-hmm. But would I say that everyone could increase their salary on their own, bringing in new streams of income? Yes. Whether that's whether you work on your own because you're quite analysis paralysis, or whether you're good working in a team. It all comes down to education and then application. If, and not only that, environment dictates performance as well, right? It's a massive thing. So if people who would outright say, no, would never be an entrepreneur, don't come from any business owners, haven't got the information, didn't go to uni, didn't go to college. Well, I turn around and say, go spend a week with 4 or 5 millionaires and try not to be a millionaire mindset. Try not to be in a rich mindset. Your environment would dictate your performance. So I think everyone could do more. I think everyone could earn a lot more money. And I think there are new ways of working which people aren't aware of, like freelance, high ticket commissions, you know, being partners, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think there's more possibility than what we let on to. But again, it's a lack of information.
So should everyone be an entrepreneur in your opinion?
Oh, I mean, my opinion's neither here or there on whether they should. I suppose what I would say is don't, if you're falling into a victim mindset and you're complaining about life, I would say then you need to pull your finger out. I would say if you are blaming the cost of living for where you are and, you know, you don't have enough money and you're struggling to pay for things, again, I would say, well, you need to pull your finger out. You know, again, I kind of have that no BS, and that's kind of where I have this push and pull effect, this Marmite, if you like, where people will either agree or disagree. I've worn the fucking t-shirt. I hope, yeah, don't mind the swearing, but I've worn the t-shirt. You know, there's nothing you can say to me. Council estate, been there, done it. Mm-hmm. Parents, no money, been there, done it. Grew up with rough people, been there, done it. So, but I self-educated and I changed my situation. So could everyone be an entrepreneur? Should they? No, but if you're not in the position where you want to be, you can change your life. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that. I would have nothing less.
Let's talk a little bit more about your background then. Explain a little bit more, because you grew up working class, but you said that you've become financially free age 31. How did that happen?
Well, I would take it right back. I have seen my family struggle with money, but also I suppose what was quite unique for me is that although my mum and dad have never had money, they had really good money habits. So sometimes that's not always the case. Mm. If someone doesn't have money, normally they fall into bad habits. But, you know, my mum and dad haven't fallen into debt. They don't do drugs. They don't drink, anything like that. So they've had good, what I would call fundamentals. So for me, witnessing that, I always knew, Aaron, don't spend money if you haven't got it. I've seen the side of stress and struggle without money. So I always knew that, well, to solve that problem, money is the vehicle. So I've always enjoyed working towards making money. I didn't like school. I never took to academia. I didn't go to uni. I didn't go to college. I didn't do any of that. I had absolutely no interest. I played high levels at sport. So I was always just very active and outgoing and action taking. And I think from seeing my parents struggle, I just realised I needed to do more than what was going to be considered the norm. Going and getting a job wasn't going to put me in a position where I was able to leave my job. I didn't even want to go into a job. I've got to be honest. I never actually wanted to work for anyone. I don't like being told what to do. And I don't like all the bullshit that came with it. So really, the only thing I had to really showcase at the time was networking, a likability factor, and a real willing to learn. And one thing I would say to anyone listening is that, you know, entrepreneurs want to help other entrepreneurs, regardless of where you come from. And look, I'm covered in tattoos, and it was tough for me in the beginning because I had to wear a turtleneck. I'd get invited to private meetings, and I would feel like I had to hide my tattoos. But when you start building great relationships, new doors open for me. I was exposed to business, And through trial and error, I've tried many different businesses, from a wedding business. I had an eBay business. I've tried quite a few things. I've been involved in property. And it wasn't until I sort of fell into finance, whilst I was working a 40-hour plus week, I just grinded away. Like we were saying off camera, I worked on that one thing. By 23, I'd made six figures in my first business. I cash stacked. I had a load of fuck you money. I was very, very good at controlling my money. I don't spend money on materialistic things. I never have done. Rinse, repeat over 10 years. I invested very, very well. And by 31 now, I'm in a very good financial position at 31. Mm-hmm.
So what was the business that ended up making you the money?
So just a story behind that. So it's a finance business. So mm-hmm. It's called Knightley Investments. And what that was is I got invited to a few meetings in London, in Mayfair. Didn't even know where Mayfair was at the time. It was predominantly to do with property. I was raising some funds for a property deal. And I stuck around for another meeting. And they were talking about bigger numbers. And I ended up meeting an equity broker. And he was quite a young lad, driving a very nice car in Mayfair. And I said, "What do you do?" And he said, "I raise equity." And I said, "Well, what is that?" And he said, "Well, essentially, I might raise venture capital, senior or junior debt." And I just fancied my crack at it, because I said, "You know, how do you end up being successful in that?" He's like, "Just get in the right fucking rooms, basically, mm-hmm. you know, and raise money." So I ended up doing that. I ended up dominating LinkedIn, understanding how to use LinkedIn. I did a couple of LinkedIn courses to really find my clients, sort of hook, line and sinker in terms of identifying who I needed to work with. I built great relationships with very powerful people who are now public figures and stuff like that. And I ended up raising equity. So when I did that a few times and I earned high commissions, I sort of formulated it into a business. I did that on whilst I was at work, during my breaks, on my days off. I worked four on, three off, and I ended up generating quite large sums of commission over sort of an 8-year period, and ended up doing all right. Mm-hmm. And I still got it today.
You mentioned that, and this is the only time you'll hear me say the F word on the podcast. Fuck you, money.
I didn't feel like you were a swearer.
I felt like I wanted to hold back. I do. I just don't swear on the podcast. Like, if you catch me in real life, I probably am more of a...
Am I going to get told off for swearing?
No, you won't get told off. No, you won't get told off. I'm just saying. I'll say it twice now. Tell us about fuck you, money, and why you need it.
Oh, fuck you, money is, you know, it's a powerful term, but what does it mean? So if you, you know, just statistically for your audience... In the UK, this was a survey done last year, mm-hmm. 85% of working adults hate their job, right? That was a survey done, and Gallup's, who's a big like survey company, also backed it up with a lot of surveys. And that's around about 43 million working adults. And that ranges from all different reasons, engagement, bullying, harassment, you name it, right? The list is endless, micromanaging. And now what I, how I differed when I was in the workplace is I had fuck you money. So essentially, you know, I've shopped at Primarni, love a bit of Primarni, you know, H&M. I've never, you know, for many years, my wife and I lived on the Orange on one car. We literally didn't spend any money. And when I say we didn't spend any money, we were willing to make the sacrifices for years so that we could cash stack, so that I was financially empowered. And I never have kept up with the Joneses. Again, don't smoke, don't drink, don't do drugs, never have done. So that's managed my money really well. So when I've made more money and I've had large sums drop in, I've never gone, "Oh, God, go get a Rolex, because I want to go to the Ivy and I want to show someone my Rolex." I've never been that person that's trying to impress anyone else. And that served me really well. So I ended up cash stacking my emergency fund. I got an emergency fund extremely big. My maintenance fund was pretty big. I had a floating fund that was pretty healthy. And I was maxing my stocks and shares ISA. Had my commodities, my investments, peer-to-peer, private investing I was doing.
Let's take a quick pause for a second. If you're an OG listener of the podcast, you'll know I haven't always had the easiest ride with my mental health in my 20s. Our newest paid partner, BetterHelp, which gives you access to online therapists, is something that's helped me immensely. With BetterHelp, you can have your therapy sessions as a phone call, a video chat, or even via messaging if you prefer that. Whatever is the most comfortable version of therapy for you. To get started, you fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you'll get matched with a therapist, in most cases within 48 hours or less. You'll then be able to schedule therapy sessions at a time that's convenient for you. Click the link in the description or visit betterhelp.com/talk20s, and that link will also get you 10% off your first month too. getting your financial ducks in a row in order to feel empowered, no matter, it's not necessarily being able to say fuck you to your employers, but it's been able to kind of sit in a room and think like, no matter what happens, I'm okay. Like, I think that's the important thing. And to not judge people around you for like how they choose or don't choose to kind of spend their money. I mean, I was watching a clip the other day, and it was really interesting because it was a guy who was speaking about his dad had been a wealth manager or whatever, and he'd had a meeting booked in the diary with someone who was a bus driver, and he was, you know, going to help him out, sort out his pension and all this kind of stuff. And he just didn't really think anything of it, wasn't really expecting him to have tons of cash, thought he'd just help him out and then that was it. And when he sat down to look at this guy's finances, he was like, it was one of like the best like amounts of money that he'd kind of seen, because this guy had actively put like half of his salary away and away and away every single month for his whole duration of being a bus driver. And he'd lived on less money. And I think that's the problem when we live in like, I guess, a very social media driven world, is that we are always trying to keep up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. We are always trying to spend money to look a certain way or to enjoy certain things. And I think that's a big problem, because if you then look at people's bank accounts when they get to retirement, they're thinking, oh, I spent all that money ages ago and now I'm screwed, basically. Yeah.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. So it again, social comparison. Mm-hmm. Got to spend to keep up with the Joneses, but the Joneses are broke. Mm-hmm. So it's just lack of information as well. Like, it's, you don't know what you don't know. And then, unfortunately, humans, we're suckers for learning when it's too late. Mm-hmm. You know, people will lose their job and then they're like, fuck, I haven't got any money. Mm-hmm. And it's, you always learn a little bit too late.
Mm-hmm. So for someone who is wanting to like leave a job, they want to move, they want to work for themselves, what do you think they need to be thinking about before they think about handing in that notice?
If you're looking to leave your job and you truly want to escape and that is what you're going to aim towards and you do want to work for yourself, it's so important you reduce that risk by not telling people your new business plans within the workplace. Mm-hmm. And that's important because you may be telling someone, because you've got a dopamine hit, that you've started a new business. Well, you might be telling a lifer, what I call a lifer. You know, you might be telling someone, hey, I'm going to get out of this place. You know, and that person's been there for years, or they're never going to change. And they're thinking, well, Mr. or Mrs. Big Shot, I don't think so. I'm going to jeopardize your chances. I might go tell a few people. Mm-hmm. So one, it's just being able to contain yourself. So that's called like self-mastery. So something I talk about and teach is like, containing your emotions. Like, again, as I mentioned about myself, is I stay disconnected. If I've got a job to do, I'll get it done. No one else needs to know about it. The results, when they come to fruition, you'll see what I've done. And then I would say, I always talk about four evaluations. Your self-evaluation is, do you really want to run a business and escape your job? Because there are two options in life. You are assigned a life, or you can design a life. Assign a life is a lot easier. You can just be told what to do, but I find that there is more risk in a job. Or designing a life is really tough. It's never ending, never stops. Even when you're sick, you're always thinking about how quick can you get back on the horse. So it's a self-evaluation. Then there's a time evaluation. How much time are you willing to put into actually running a business and escaping? Because you can't run a business or even start without time. And then last two is financial evaluation, getting your shit together. Really looking after your money, because if you can't look after your own, you can never run a business. And then finally, your social evaluation. Who is around you? And those are the four evaluations that I would have everyone do well before they think, I'm going to go hand in my notice. Although that is one of the best feelings in the world. Mm-hmm. But before you do that, those would be the four things.
You're very much hustle, hustle, hustle though. Like, do you ever get tired of the hustle?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, knackered.
Really?
Yeah, shattered. And look, I only sleep about 4.5 hours, 5 hours a night.
But again, that's leaning into the hustle. Like, if I'm not sleeping, I'm hustling. You know what I mean?
Do you know what? There's like, this is a huge topic. Like, is hustle mentality. I think that the problem is, do you know what? We're in a world of fucking titles. We're in a world of titles, labels. You know, even like when people say, what is it you do? Who fucking cares what I do? I'm Aaron. You know, like when people turn around and say, what do you do for your job? I'm senior. No, look, you're boring. Like, no one cares. And this is the problem. Like, hustle mentality, high profile man, high profile woman. Have you noticed? It's just like everything's a freaking title now. And it's, and I don't think there's a right or wrong. You know, if I weren't working all the time, I have a lot of time off. I go on really nice holidays. Like, we have to caveat that with, you know, with that as well. Like, I love working. Like, I just wouldn't, I don't want to not any do anything else. Like, if you ever look at a lot of old billionaires, as soon as they stop working, they're gone. You know, like, it's over, because they're just so used to, like, always striving for more. And I think that's healthy. And I think there's a line, of course, to have time off. And I said this week, after having the flu for like 7 days, was, you know, I'm going to take probably an extra day off a week. But at the same time, you know what it's like when you love what you do? You just wake up and you're almost excited for it. So bad habits, good habits, I think we're a little bit twisted. I think people would say that the hustle mentality is a bad habit. Well, I know people that go to the fucking pub every Friday and Saturday night and do £250 doing a line of freaking Charlie and stuff like that. And they do that every weekend. But we don't blink an eyelid at that. But yet, talk about the guy or girl who's putting in 7 days of work. They go, oh, that's unhealthy. Hang on a minute. You've been in the toilet for half hour. You know, so it's like, I think we've got them twisted.
I think what we always come back to on the podcast is your 20s is a contradiction, but it's also about finding a very fine balance. And no one ever has that balance. No one has that point where it's like, they're either hustling too much or they're lazy, or they're either going out too much or they're working too hard. Like, it's very hard. Yeah. Like, I just find that your 20s ultimately are a complete contradiction, because like, you can't evenly allocate all your time to seeing friends. Like, you just can't do it all. You can't do everything that you want to do in life. People are saying, you know, don't go out and drink too much, but then you've got to go and see and socialize your friends. You've got to go to the gym because you've got to have a healthy body. But then you're young, you might as well enjoy life. You go travel and see the world, but then you need to find a career. Like, there are so many different things that are just such a contradiction. Yeah. And that's what it always comes back down to on the podcast.
But do you know what? What I would say again, I keep things really simple. And honestly, I solely believe the reason I don't suffer from an anxiety or any depression is because I've just done what I fucking want my whole life. No one's ever told me ever anything. I've never felt any, I think, again, it comes down to expectation. Oh, my five mates, they're all working out. They're all ripped. Oh, I don't really want to, but maybe I should do that. Or, you know, everyone's on social media and, you know, they've gone and bought the Submariner. Ugh, I haven't really got the money, but I'm going to go buy it. I'm going to go take it. You know, everyone's doing everything for everyone else. And it's like, if we start doing things for yourself, if you want to work out today, great. If you don't even want to work, you know, if you want to call up work because you're feeling good and healthy and the sun's out, and you ring up and actually say, I'm not coming in today because I'm feeling good and the sun's out, do it.
You're going to lose your job, Aaron.
Yeah.
You're going to lose your job.
But the point I'm making is that start doing things for you. Like, when you start making decisions consciously for yourself, one, you're going to avoid regret. Two, you're going to avoid this midlife crisis. Three, you're going to avoid becoming bitter to people around you because you're not making decisions based on other people. I think, honestly, avoiding labels, avoiding everything like this is coming down to the decision of, am I doing it because I want to do it? Mm-hmm. And you're going to feel better if you start making decisions for you and perhaps for your family. And that's literally, that's been me my whole life.
We always talk on the podcast about our biggest adulting failures. Now, sometimes these help shape us into who we are. But is there a particular moment that you can remember where you, at the time, really did feel like it was a big failure?
I think for me, probably my biggest one, look, I've got many, but I think not acknowledging, as we were talking about earlier, and it really is a double-edged sword for me, but I think not acknowledging to actually slow down and really think about what I'm doing and just to reflect rather than going steamrolling into burnout. Mm-hmm. I'm so guilty of that. Like, this is a really hard journey. So anyone entering into like entrepreneurship or finding their feet, is that when you get excited, you can go steamrolling into it. And I think just to learn that you do have to really acknowledge, like, this is such a mentally testing game that the crash is real. So I think that's probably one of my things, is that I can look back and I can think I just steamrolled into things and even lost money because of it. You know, I've been excited before when I didn't have the knowledge and experience that someone has presented an investment to me a long time ago. And I lost thousands at the time. And mm-hmm. It was thousands I couldn't afford to lose, really. Mm-hmm. And that was because I just steamrolled into it without really thinking too much. So I would say I've learned to, through those failures, especially losing the money one, that was quite tough. Even my parents lost some money in that one as well. So I think just being able to slow things down on decisions. So if someone presents something to me now, mm-hmm. is just taking a moment and saying, look, give me a couple of days, let me come back to you, and just slow down. Because mm-hmm. I am full on.
Yeah. It's easy to be impulsive and stuff as well, especially when you're kind of sold the dream and stuff. And
yeah,
it's difficult. And I think, you know, there'll be other people who've been in that boat before that have lost money to things that, you know, especially we just chatted about, oh, this quick wins on the internet and all that kind of stuff. Like we've all wanted to do it, especially like when people target people who have, you know, not particularly had, you know, lots of money before, because you want it so much harder. Like you want it so much more. So yeah, that's really, really tricky. We also talk on the podcast how even though anyone who sat on the end of the sofa, no one is the finished product. Like you might be able to talk about lots of different things in the way you view the world, but there must be something that you feel that you want to improve on in your life. So what is that that you can share with our listeners?
I think for me, I'm trying to, I made a real effort on it last year, is actually acknowledge that as we're all growing, is just making it a real obligation to try and give back as much as possible. I've really kind of come to understand that whole life of equilibrium is that as we're evolving in what we're doing and like in what I'm doing, is that I'm finding that time to give back, because although it doesn't, you know, not giving with, you know, with that expectation you're going to get something back, but I do believe that every time you learn and evolve, is that I'm trying to make a conscious effort that I'm helping as many people in return. And because it's so important, as we sort of kick this podcast off with, is that there is a huge lack of knowledge. And that's why, like, you started this podcast as well. Like, it's an educational thing as well. And that's so important that we're in like this real like transition period of, like, we've still got our baby boomers who don't believe things, and we've got all this information and contradicting. And I think for us, you know, who are living proof and really trying to do the right thing, is that we're passing on everything that we're learning in the right way. So that's one thing for me I'm being super conscious about, is making sure that as I'm evolving, I'm passing on as much of the good stuff as possible. Mm-hmm. That's really important.
And I guess on that then, like, we always end the podcast by asking our guests the same question that we ask every guest. And it's to look back at 20-year-old Aaron. And if you could give Aaron just that one piece of advice that would see him through his 20s, it can only be one thing though, that you would want to tell him and shake and be like, you have to know this. What would you want to say to him?
I would say, if I could go back and, yeah, tell myself as a 20-year-old, it's tough because I did a lot of the right things and I made a pivot at the real important time. But I would say double down, and this is a message to other sort of like 20-year-olds around that, because I would say, Aaron, double down even more so on your network and collaboration. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have, you're not good at academics, you're not good at the formal education stuff, the uni, the college, if you can just double down and just spend just as much time as God gives you on building a network, just the doors that open and the doors that have opened for me have been insane. But if I could go back, I'd go be in London 3 more times a month. And I'd just say, meet 5-10 more people every single week. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I could have done more of, I think, if I'd have really pushed myself, is to network more. Because in the beginning, when you don't know, it really is who you know. So mm-hmm. that would probably be my biggest bit of advice, and to anyone mm-hmm. listening.
And that's where I feel like we are completely aligned, because I 100% agree on the network side of things. I think the more people that know about you, your skill set, where you're trying to go in life and what you're trying to do, and how you can help them and you can collaborate, I just think that is so, so powerful. And yeah. I think there's multiple ways of doing that. I think it's, you know, it's most valuable when you meet in person, when you get to have that face-to-face time with people. So if you're spending a lot of time indoors behind a computer and not, you know, and that doesn't include like being on Zoom or Teams or whatever it is that you use, like I think it is getting out there in person. But I also think it's about putting, you know, some element out there of, you know, this is who I am, this is what I do. And if that means, people call it building a personal brand nowadays. But, you know, just even just in a career sense, like posting on LinkedIn, just, you know, even if you just post on LinkedIn a couple of times, guys, a couple of times, so that people get a picture of who you are. I totally agree on the network.
Yeah, it's a game changer. Mm-hmm. Like, you honestly, the people who you know in your network is just the door opener. It's like the key that unlocks any door. Like, if you get the right people in, mm-hmm. and just finally on that, like, there's no discrimination. That's the great thing. Like, as I said before, I started this whole sort of journey you know, covered in tattoos, met some people who might, you might consider would be judgmental. And mm-hmm. honestly, they're not, and they've helped me massively. So mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your time. It's been amazing having the podcast. I know you've traveled quite the way to get up to Liverpool here today. So thank you for that.
And
we're really excited to see where you take everything. Good luck with peak performance events.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Thank awesome. You. Thanks so much for listening, guys. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to leave a comment down below or leave us a 5-star review, and join us again next week for another guest here in the Talk 20 studio.